Today on the 1012 podcast, we're making picks with Chris, Daniel, myself, and guest Grayson Grundhafer of Sikkim 365. We've got Dylan Gabriel versus UCF. We've got TCU, Kansas State, and a Big 12 championship game rematch. Houston hosting Texas. We've got every game in the slate and much, much more.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 1012, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 1012 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. That's T-E-N, the number 12, the word network.com. Also, we're partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. Incredible stuff over there. Go check them out. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us today. It is a Thursday, if you're listening to this on the day that it drops, and Thursdays means picks. We got a lot of picks to make. I'm not going to be doing it by myself. We've got some other things to get to. We're going to get to that in just a second. But first thing I got to do, what I always got to do, I have to introduce the people that are with me every Thursday, because every podcast is someone's first. He is our pro picker, the guy we rely on every single week to bring us some interesting facts and stats. He is Daniel Alexander.
Hey, finally, let's see, cashed in real life. That was nice. Had a nice big week. And then, hey, I won the week here. I'll take it. So let's go.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We will recap the week here in a few minutes, but congrats to Daniel on winning last week. Also joining us today, he was not the winner last week. I'm not sure he wants to recap the week that was, but we'll get to it. He is Chris Ross.
Yeah, if you want to be the winner in wherever you're making your picks this week, just pretty much fade what I say coming up here in the next hour, and you'll be pretty good.
No. The trend says this is Chris's week coming up because of the way the season has gone so far. We are not alone. As I told you, we've got a few weeks in a row we're going to be bringing on guests because it's not a full seven-game slate. Very excited to have joining us from Sikkim 365. He is Grayson Grundhafer. Grayson, welcome to the show, man.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm excited. I had some pretty good picks last week, so I'm hoping that this week continues that. But it's a tough week in the Big 12. The games are going to be tough to call, I think.
I'm going to ask you about that, Daniel, because I'm curious if you feel like Vegas is starting to learn some things about the Big 12. Before we do that, we've got a little bit of news we've got to get to. I can already hear Robert's eyes rolling into the back of his head as he's having to recap this episode. Brett Yormark was at Big 12 Basketball Media Days on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll start with the basketball news. Men's basketball starting next year, not this year, next season. Once we have the full 16-team slate of teams, men's basketball will go to 20 conference games starting in 2024, and women will stay at 18. I'm fine with this. I think 20 is a smart thing. The Big Ten has paid off handsomely in terms of teams who've made the NCAA tournament more than they probably deserved. After the Big Ten went to 20 conference games, it has benefited them. When you play in the toughest conference in college basketball, it might mean a couple extra losses for a few teams, but I think it's going to pay off for the Big 12 in the long run because the numbers are just going to look better. More teams in the tournament, more money for the conference, and the prestige of the conference continues to rise. Of course, we need everybody to survive the grind that is the Big 12. Their first KenPom numbers came out this week. And guess what? The lowest ranked team in the preseason, UCF, is still way better than the bottom of every other Power 5 conference when it comes to men's basketball. There's some in the like 120s, 130s, 140s. Woof. Woof. Let's talk about football for a minute. The schedule for football for next year and I think moving on is supposed to come out late November or December. As Yormark said, the parameters to determine future football schedules in the 16-team format would include geography, competitive balance, history, and rivalries. Okay, here's kind of some things that I have been told. One, when they put out this schedule, it's not just going to be for 1 year. It'll either be like a 4-year rotation or a longer rotation as this gets set. Like, I have been very proud of the athletic directors in the Big 12 for the last couple of years now. Ever since it was announced that Oklahoma and Texas were leaving, they've all kind of come together under one umbrella of being pro Big 12. They brought in Yormark. Everyone's on the same train. We're going to lock up a TV deal. We're going to expand. We're going to raid the Pac-12. We're going to tear it apart. We're going to bring new schools in, and we're going to be awesome. And everyone was working towards one goal. Of course, everyone still has a job to do for their school, but they were all working for one goal that was growing the Big 12 and making the Big 12 a stronger brand. Well, that checklist is done. Not convinced that that they're all quite as unified and as one anymore now that the list of things that needed to be done, get the Corner Four, get the TV deal done, have been completed. As I have been told, there is still infighting as to how many teams are actual or how many games the conference is going to play from conference game standpoint. Do we stick at nine like we've been doing? There is some push by some athletic directors to cut back to eight, because they believe it will help get more teams into the expanded 12-team playoff from the Big 12. I'm not super hyped about this. I'm not. You have been dealing with a narrative by some to say that the new Big 12 will kind of be like just a glorified fancy G5. It's bull. It's nonsense. It's whatever. Going back to eight conference games, and before you tell me about the SEC, I know that the SEC does that. They get to get away with it because of the perception of the SEC. If you go from 9 to 8, you will be ridiculed for it. It will not benefit you in the way that you think it will. Is it going to get you some more wins? Sure, we've kind of talked about that. It can make some of the records inflated and look better. If you think it will not be held against the Big 12 in a way that it is not held against the ACC and the SEC, you're out of your cotton-picking minds. You have got to stick at nine. You cannot go backwards. You can move forwards towards change, positive change. You cannot move backwards. It does not go well. It will not go well. Now, I have asked, like, well, what are we going to do? Like, how are ESPN and Fox going to feel about more Big 12 games, but less quality Big 12 games? Because, y'all, it's not like they're suddenly going to, everyone's going to add an extra Power 5 opponent. They're going to add a G5. Cool. ESPN gets more inventory for ESPN Plus. Hey, fans, y'all love when that happens. I'm fine with it, but I know how y'all feel. Also, Fox might be considering their own subscription-based service as well. So, hey, Fox is going to need some inventory, so they'd be okay with a bunch of Big 12 versus G5 opponents. You okay buying Fox Plus, Fox Sports Plus, to go with your ESPN Plus? Is it going to be bundled with Hulu as well, or is it going to be bundled with, I don't know, Fox News, whatever they decide to do it with? I have no idea. Point of all this is this. Get it together. Do what is right. Stick with nine. Preserve certain games that need to be preserved. Jamie Pollard, get over your lack of interest in Farmageddon and just play it every year. Stay with nine. Stop messing around. Stop goofing off. Stop being self-interest. I understand your job is to focus on your school and what is done in the best interest of your athletic department. That is your job. The best interest of your athletic department is for the Big 12 to do the right thing. Stay at nine games. Preserve certain rivalries, even if you don't want them. Get this thing on the right course. And move forward. And stop bickering. Eight conference game nonsense. You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, I don't want to tell you you're wrong, but winning matters more than anything. It just does. Let me ask you, what did playing the round robin, the nine-game conference schedule, then 1-2 in the championship game, then a guaranteed Power 5 opponent in the non-conference, to have the strongest strength of schedule out of the entire Power 5, what did that do for the Big 12? Nothing. It didn't do anything for them. It was just chasing these field goal, these football posts that kept moving. It doesn't matter. Win, and everything else takes care of itself. And you win against teams that have a better win-loss record, the better you look. That's it. It's that simple. That's all that matters.
I think, you know, as I see it, I do think that playing nine conference games is the way to go. I think that you stick with that. And with the 12-team playoff coming in, I think that's big to mention, because I know it does feel like the field goal post got moved a lot when it was four teams, but naturally it was always going to do that when it was four spots for five Power 5 leagues. But I think now this is more about putting yourself in a situation to play a lot of really good games while also kind of putting yourself in a position to have, I think, be talked about more nationally instead of playing these irrelevant games, which I don't think Big 12 teams can afford to play multiple irrelevant games in the non-conference when they could just be playing another conference game. So yeah, I'm with nine for sure.
I'll wrap on this and then we can move on. Could you get more teams in the 12-team playoff by making it easier on yourself? You could. That could be what happens. You over the first 10 years of a 12-team playoff, maybe you get an average of 2.5 years as opposed to two. But I know what's going to happen. What's going to be held up against you is where you are seated. And so you can play a better schedule and set yourself up to be seated higher, or you can play a weaker schedule and they will hold it against the Big 12. Look, we could talk about moving field goals. We could talk about all the different ways that it hasn't seemed fair for the Big 12. I get it. It's nonsense that the SEC continues to get away with eight and is probably going to stick with eight moving forward. It's nonsense that the ACC gets away with it as well. Backtracking never plays well. It's not going to. It's not going to help them in the way they think it will. And congrats on setting yourself up by having three teams in the playoff one year where all three are playing on the road in the first round of the playoff because everyone decided to add games against Conference USA and avoid playing each other. Which also, by the way, I would rather see games against Colorado and Arizona and West Virginia and UCF and Iowa State and Texas Tech and TCU than games against Liberty, North Texas, UTSA, and Western Michigan. So that's my stance. I get it, Nick, Chris. I understand your point. We're just going to disagree on this one. All right. Let's move on because we got picks to make, and I am excited to make them. Let us recap last week to kick things off. Daniel was our big winner, 4-2 on the week, sir. Bravo. Bravo. Hit on Houston plus three. I can't believe Dana got you a win. I feel like you were both happy and sad at the same, like happy eyes, sad face. Hit on under 45.5 in Cincinnati, Iowa State. Hit on TCU minus six versus BYU. Hit on the over 56.5 in Texas Tech, Kansas State. The misses were the under 55.5 in OSU, Kansas. That was about done at halftime. And Cal plus 12. 4-2 on the week brings you to 31-30 back above 500, sir. Congratulations.
That Cal was dirty, man. They had that game. They were going in to make it a 3-point game with like 8 minutes left or something, and then just the wheels fell off. Couldn't make it happen. Missed a 23-yard field goal. Utah, huge run. That was over. Should have been 5-1. That's okay. Let's run it back and win another week.
It's the right mindset. It's the right mindset to have. You know, you got to take the wins that you get. I came in second. I went 3-3 last week. Hit on the under 45.5 in Cincinnati, Iowa State. Hit on Oklahoma State plus 3.5. Hit on Kansas State plus two. Misses were West Virginia minus 2.5. What a game. Missed on BYU plus six. Not even close. And missed on Rutgers minus 4.5. They got the win by three. It was a come from behind victory. Did not cover the 4.5. 3-3 last week brings me to 33-28. I am currently in the lead. Chris, sir, 1-5 last week. You hit on Houston plus three. It was a great start to the week. And then you missed on Cincinnati minus 4.5. Missed on Kansas minus three, missed on BYU plus six, missed on Texas Tech minus 1.5, and missed on the Maryland plus 13.5. 1-5 brings you to 30-31 on the season.
Yeah, Chase owes me something for saving him from that Maryland pick. He was pretty upset about that. But yeah, everything on paper said that was an easy cover for Maryland, and then they didn't even win the game. Whatever. Throw that away. It's a new week, and we'll get after it.
I mean, you didn't. He doesn't really owe you anything because it didn't do him any favors not to do it. Chris went, or Chase went 0-6. Chase went 0-6,
Yeah, that's right.
including the Western Michigan plus 8.5, which brings our guest total to 4-15. Grayson, I don't know if coming on here is a curse. It might just be for our guests. I hate it for him. So you've got, look, at this point, the best week of a guest so far is 2-4. So we've got seven games to pick. If you win three out of seven, you're going to be the best guest we've had so far. How does that feel?
I mean, it feels like there's a lot of pressure off me. So, I mean, I'm just going to be out here just picking them how I see them. So, hopefully, it goes okay. I feel good about my non-Big 12 one. So, I guess that's a good spot to be.
I'm wondering how many of us have the same non-Big 12 on our card because there's a good one, I think. a tried and true staple to follow. So we'll see what happens. Well, we start this week off. We do this every same way every week. As I mentioned, we go in chronological order. First man up is always last week's winner. That means we begin with UCF at Oklahoma on Saturday, 11 a.m. kick. Currently, the Sooners are a 19-point favorite. Total is at 66. Daniel, you are last week's winner. You are up first, sir. What would you like?
This game was bet pretty much from the open. Oklahoma took money. I can't say I disagree. You know, we're making some assumptions here, but, you know, Oklahoma, basically, do they care, right? Like, is the run defense going to care? If the front seven can step up and they can play their game for four quarters, like, UCF might have a shot at a backdoor. But I sort of don't see the way Oklahoma's been playing, why they don't cover this. Obviously, some smart people thought 17 was too short. And now what, we're sitting at 19, 19 and a half right in there. 19, 18 and a half. I'm going to roll with the favorite here. They should cover this number if they want to. You know, the only fear is that they sort of let down in the second half. I'm hoping with Dylan Gabriel, maybe with some Heisman chatter, coaches will keep their foot on the gas a little bit, cover the big number. Oklahoma minus 18 and a half. Is that cool? I think there's some available.
Where are – I see an 18 and a half at Mirage, but it says 18 and a half at minus 115.
No,
so I don't know,
no, no. Just 19 then. Give me the
let
19.
Me, let me no, see. No, no, okay, there are DraftKings. DraftKings has 18 and a half. As we learned last week from Chase, DraftKings counts.
They count. They're an okay book. They count.
18 and a half. I like it. I am second. I mean, I'm coming along with you. I mean, what? I mean,
awesome.
Come on, folks.
Oh, here we go. We're getting all four of us. Here we go.
That's fine. We know what happens when we all four agree. Look, they're 6-0 against the spread at the closing line. Now, obviously, this isn't the closing line, and that could change, and we could get bit on a line that drops or some insanity. Maybe that happens. But Oklahoma is 6-0 against the spread. I mean, yeah, I'm just going to ride with that until it's not a good bet to make. Like, I'm gonna stick with trends. I feel good about those. I see no reason to change. Everyone whose numbers and stuff I look at, Parker has OU by 20. Room 44 has OU by 20. TS Index has OU by 19. K-Ford has OU by like 24 and a half. It's 6-0 against the spread. Give me OU. Chris.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to ride with you guys. This is the Big 12 scheduling did OU a favor with the bye after Texas. They have Kansas and Oklahoma State on deck. You know, Kansas doesn't scare them. UCF's going to have their attention. And unfortunately, all UCF can hope for is that OU gets bored because they're on a three-game losing skid. They're in Norman. This is, in my opinion, easy three-touchdown win by OU, if not more. Give me the Sooners.
Grayson?
So just to be clear, am I allowed to pick the over-under instead
you,
of the –
You may pick the spread or the over-under.
Okay, so I'm going off of what I've seen from kind of just – I got to see UCF in person play against Baylor, and I've seen UCF play a lot this year. And so far in conference play, not a single one of their games has been played below 70. And so I think Oklahoma's probably going to put up 40 – maybe even 50 points. And I expect UCF to score some. I expect them to score maybe 20, something along those lines. Their offense can move the football some. But I do think this is a revenge factor game because, of course, Dylan Gabriel went to UCF. And so in my eyes, he's going to put up a bunch of points, and that's going to be great. And Oklahoma's going to win this game, and they're probably going to cover. But for me, I want the over here. I think UCF's defense is terrible. I expect OU to put up a lot of points. But I also think their defense might look a little bit more suspect this week. It's just a hunch that I have after playing so well against Texas.
Over 66. I like it, sir.
I mean, I love it. Whenever we all agree, it's typically bad news. So the fact that you went off of OU really helps us out.
Yes, you have done us a favor. Bravo, sir. Bravo. Okay, let's move this along. Next game on the schedule. Actually, before we get to that, Daniel, I wanted to ask you this. I'll ask you this now. It seems like a good spot for it. How do you feel? Do you feel Vegas has adjusted at all the Big 12? You know, Grayson was saying before we started recording, like, this week feels tough. This week feels like the Lions are pretty close to good on where we should expect them to be. Do you feel like Vegas has made the necessary adjustments to the Big 12 team so far?
Yes. Short answer is yes. So, you know, I could talk for an hour on this topic, but let's keep it to 30 seconds here. As the weeks go on and books and players, right, we gather information, people, you know, build their models, and the people at the book, in theory, are creating efficient markets through bettors. Lines get tighter, right? Like, you get into week 7, 8, 9, 10, and it's like the line's right. You know, everyone's got the same number. A book opens, and, you know, everyone in the world has got Oklahoma somewhere around, you know, minus 17 to minus 21, and books open it at minus 17. And it's like, okay, well, everyone agrees, right? So as we get later into the season, you are right. Totals are spot on. You know, and when you have lines too that are, you know, minus 3, minus 4.5, you know, short lines with teams that know each other, it gets really hard. And that's when shopping for the best line really comes into play, or just sort of waiting in the week and know, you know, on a buy spot on a team. And what do I mean by that? You're looking at some team, or here's an example. You know, we're going to talk about West Virginia, Oklahoma State later on. It's like, these lines are so tight. It's like, it's going to make a difference maybe if you got minus 3 at open, or if you got the, you know, minus 3.5, because we've all gauged these markets correctly. Lines are tight. It's a tough world out there.
Sounds good. Okay.
Did I even answer your question?
Yeah. No, I think you did. I feel like, yes, that was the answer. That answered my question. okay, moving on down the line, we have Grayson. This one's just for you, sir. Just kidding. Baylor, off of an idle week on the road, facing Cincinnati for the first time as Big 12 foes. The line right now, Cincinnati, -3.5. Total is IC50s, IC50.5s, if that's of interest to you in any way. I am up first. This is a really tough matchup for Baylor. Cincinnati's defense does a really good job of defending what Baylor likes to do. I'm curious if Baylor comes out and continues to try and do what they like to do, given how the season is going so far. I would tend to say no. I think Cincinnati should win this game. I think they should cover the line. Room 44, TSI, KFord all project Cincinnati to cover this 3.5 comfortably. The only person who doesn't is our good friend Parker. But I'm going to go a different direction here. We talked about it last week. Nippert Stadium unders are a tendency and a trend. I know Baylor's defense isn't great, right? And actually, Cincinnati is 4-2 to the over this season, but Baylor is 2-4 to the under. I think this will be a slightly slower or lower scoring affair. I'm going to take the under. I can get it at 50.5. So that's what I'm going to give myself. Under 50.5 in this one. Chris.
Yeah, as you guys said, this is a tough one to pick. Cincinnati, kind of a rough stretch for them right now. Baylor a little up and down. But I don't know how much I believe in either team. I'm just going to ride with efficiency stats on this, which actually gives a significant advantage to Cincinnati. And at home, I'm just going to take the Bearcats to get the cover here.
Grayson?
I'm up next. Okay, so this is such an interesting game in my eyes, because I think you look at Cincy and you say, okay, they're going to be disruptive up front, which is something Baylor hasn't been able to deal with all year. Baylor's probably not going to be able to run the ball. I would bet that they run for less than 100 yards. And so you sit there and go, okay, well, there's no way Baylor can win this game. But I think if you look a little bit closer, Cincinnati's pass defense is really, really bad. And I do think Baylor has some weapons like Monterey Baldwin, Drake Dabney, Keetron Jackson, who can take advantage of that a little bit. And as we move forward in this season, I think Blake Shapen's going to get healthier and healthier as long as he's not getting absolutely destroyed in the pocket like he did against Texas Tech. But he's coming off that MCL injury, and I think he's getting closer to fully healthy. For me in this game, I think that I would probably take Baylor here, but I'm actually going to take the over. And the reason I'm taking the over is because Baylor's defense hasn't really shown me anything that tells me that they're going to give up less than 24, 27 points. And Cincinnati's defense, while it's good up front, I think they're probably going to give up somewhere in that range as well. And so if you kind of total that up, you're looking at 54 type points. And so I'll take the over 50, which is what I think I have right here.
Yes, I can get you over 50. Yes, I can. All right, Daniel.
I got two things going on here. First off, I think the line's about right. My raw number is Cincinnati -3, whatever sort of home field advantage you think they might have. Push it out, maybe a 3.5 or 4. Market's at 3.5 right now. But like time out. What are we talking about here? Cincinnati has lost 4 in a row. They just got blown out by Iowa State. Okay. Like in the last month, you could say their best game, you know, on paper was against BYU. They actually didn't perform terribly, even though they lost that game by 8. And I think they were favored. So they went off as favorites in that game and lost. Valiant effort against Oklahoma. They couldn't do anything. Is it Embry? Yeah, Embry Jones, a quarterback, like totally inconsistent. A month ago, lost to Miami, Ohio. And it's like, gosh, now this team has to go like win. And not just win, but like cover 4 points. I guess it's just hard to see, right? Like, really? At some point, it's like Cincinnati is who they are, right? They've lost 4 straight now, and now we're asking them to cover margin, and I just don't get it. So even though the line feels right, something stinks in Cincinnati to me, and this is just, you know, I wouldn't bet on this. It's just a little piece of information that I like to run. Visiting conference dogs have been blown out their previous game. A team that's lost by 24 or more, and then they're playing a conference game as a visitor. They cover the spread at almost 55% of the time since 2006. We've got an almost 1,200 game sample plus 75 units. If you just blindly bet conference visitors who were blown out by 24 or more the prior week. So we've got a small little piece of info supporting Baylor. Something stinks in Cincinnati. They might win, but covering 4 seems weird. I'm going to take Baylor this week, 3.5.
One thing that doesn't stink is the incredible apparel at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company, a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel, and you know they love the Big 12. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best-dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. That includes every current Big 12 team, minus Cincinnati and Colorado and a few other schools. In fact, more than 30 schools to choose from. It's getting cold out. Would you like a comfortable sweater or a hoodie or a bomber jacket? Those things are incredible. Y'all, they have such good Big 12 stuff, and they keep teasing a new UCF shirt on the way. I cannot wait for some more Citronaut. Look, UCF, y'all, just go back to the Citronaut. Drop the Knights. Just go back to the Citronauts. One of the best mascots ever. I don't understand it. Anywho, I want the Citronaut shirt. I think you all might want one as well. So what you need to do is remember the promo code 101215, TEN1215, for 15% off all non-sale items. Grayson, they've got Baylor stuff, and it's pretty dang good. They put out a Baylor jacket, man. They put out a Baylor jacket, and it is fantastic. It's got the Sailor Bear logo on it.
Oh, is it a bomber?
It is a bomber jacket.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, might have to find myself one of those.
So remember that promo code 101215, TEN1215, for 15% off all non-sale items. Go to charliehustle.com today. Charlie Hustle, vintage, made fresh. Yeah, this stuff's good. They put out some Kansas State ones, some Iowa State ones. They're yeah, they look real good. Okay, so Moving on down the list, we are going to West Virginia, hosting Oklahoma State at 2:30 in the afternoon in Morgantown. The line for this one is currently West Virginia -3.5, total at 50. This one total actually dropped. Is that 49.5? Hello, 49.5. How are you? Good to see you. Chris, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Yeah, this is tough. Oklahoma State admittedly has looked pretty good the last couple of weeks, last couple of outings. Their backs are starting to make the presence known. Gordon he looks fantastic. Nixon is a great backup to him, a little bit of lightning to thunder there. I like what they're doing right now. Bowman looks more comfortable now. He's not looking at his shoulder at the bench at who's getting ready to take his spot. Oklahoma State just looks different the last 2 weeks. That said, I have continually doubted West Virginia, and they've continually proven me wrong. And this is in Morgantown. They have a pretty good rush defense. I think they're like in the top 40 and the 30 somewhere in rush defense. Efficiency likes West Virginia, probably, for that reason. And a little bit of that, how much of that, Oklahoma State's early games might have thrown that off a little bit. That's tough to read into. All that said, I have the benefit of being an Oklahoma State fan. So if I pick against the Cowboys, then I win one way or another. So I'm going to take West Virginia at home.
All right. Grayson?
Nice. I mean, I think that, coming into this game, when I first kind of looked at it, I was kind of anticipating Oklahoma State to make this line a little bit closer, especially after what happened to West Virginia against Houston. And I got to say, I think we're about to see a different West Virginia team going forward. I think the injuries that they sustained against TCU, I think we saw those pop up a little bit against Houston, especially in that secondary. And I'm nervous that defense is not going to be what it was in the early part of the season. And now they're facing an Oklahoma State team that is riding high with a lot of momentum. They're finally getting their playmakers the ball, like Ollie Gordon and Brennan Presley. And Alan Bowman, like you said, he's finally the quarterback. He doesn't have to sit there and lose his rhythm every other series. And so now he's the guy. And so I'm very nervous here because of the Morgantown effect. And so that I kind of got to take that into account too. So I'm going to continue being the over-under guy here, and I'm taking over 49.5.
I like it.
Very nice. Very nice. Daniel?
I'm coming along here on that over. 49.5 seems a touch low, especially, this is a game where I'm not going to have real money on this thing. So, I don't mind going here with this, but that K-State game should have gone over for the last 3 weeks of Oklahoma State here. Game with Iowa State flew over. Last week with Kansas flew over. If we just go pull that last month, Oklahoma State is an over team. And my immediate thought was that number just looks a little bit low. And same thing with West Virginia. I'm not going to use the word fraud is not the right word. But if you go look at their overall defense, I think it's a little bit deceiving if you look at the box score and then how some teams performed. I think they did a nice job against TCU. I think Texas Tech should have scored more. And Houston, who frankly is not very good, went and put 41 up on them last Thursday. Long-winded way of saying this total is a little bit too low with the way these two teams are playing right now. And I think they're going to beat the bad weather. It's going to be windy and rainy that night, but I think their game kicks at like 2 o'clock or something like that. So give me that over 49.5.
The OSU offense is performing better. Here's the thing. Is West Virginia going to hold OSU under 27 points? Like on the road? Maybe. West Virginia's run defense has been pretty good. That's kind of been the strength of the OSU offense during its resurgence. Outside of the South Alabama game, they've scored, 27 points every week? I would expect them to put up at least that many points. So if they put up 27, West Virginia's got to put up 22 for the over, or 23 for the hit? Yeah, I don't trust. I'm not going to buy the OSU resurgence, and I don't know how to feel about West Virginia. If it was under 3, I'd roll with WVU. At 3.5, I don't like it. I'm actually going to ride with Daniel Grayson here and take an over. I think West Virginia should play well in this game and bounce back after an extra day to prepare. OSU's last two games, their resurgence, have been at home, not on the road. I think OSU will keep this game close. I think both teams will be able to score. I'm going to take with the over with you guys. All right, we are moving on to a game that in the preseason just looked like it could be so much fun. Just a huge one. Houston finally getting the University of Texas to come to their stadium, something they've been trying to do forever. Could never get Texas to go to Houston. They would never demean themselves by going to Houston, let alone playing Houston in the same conference. Like, this is an atrocity. Alas, the shine of this one from the preseason's off a little bit at the moment. Texas is a 23.5 point favorite. Woof. Total is, I see mostly 61s. I see a 61.5 on the board, if that suits your fancy. Daniel, you are, no. Grayson, you're up first, sir. Did I do that right? Who went first last time?
Yeah, I'm up first for this one, yeah. And I'm glad I am, because I feel really good about this one. I watched that Houston-West Virginia game, and I know Houston won, and it was great. The Hail Mary, it was awesome. They gave up over 440 yards to Garrett Green and 390 yards passing, which Garrett Green, good quarterback, should not be throwing for 390 yards against anyone. And now they're about to face this Texas team who's coming off of a loss to Oklahoma. I think Texas is going to name their number in this game. I'm going Texas minus 23.5. I think they're probably going to score 50 points in this game. And so while Houston might score a little bit, I think this is going to be a blowout. I think Texas plays really, really well this week.
Daniel?
No, we're all not going to go do this. Look, I'm not going to have any real money on this game.
No.
I mean, well documented how much we I mean,
I'm not sure Daniel actually bets money ever.
Daniel, have you put any real money on any games this week?
I mean, look, the answer is yeah, right? Go find me on Action App. I got a lot of stuff posted already. I got some big positions too on some games, but this is just another one. I just don't have a lot of interest to getting money involved in the Big 12, sort of what we talked about, right? These games are tight, you know? But, dude, who wants to get money involved when Dana's like getting his hands in the mix, right? Come on. That guy's going to screw you. Sark, if you give him time to prepare, he's 7-2 against the spread as a head coach. That's it. That's all I'm going to go off of here. He lost. He's got a little redemption now. He's got to come out looking good to get back in the conversation. 7-2 against the spread with extra time. Give me Texas minus 23.5.
I want to take Texas here so badly because you know they want to go destroy Houston. They've had a week off to prepare, work on the red zone issues they've been suffering from. There's no better cure for offensive issues than facing Houston this season in the Big 12. Houston's giving up what feels like a million points in Big 12 play this season. Texas's defense has been fantastic. There's no reason not to take Texas to cover 24 points, except that that's a lot of points to ask Texas to cover in a game. I want to know the last time Texas covered a spread of 24 points. Like, or just won a game by 24. Anybody know the last time Texas won? I'm not going to go research it.
A couple weeks ago, Kansas.
That's true. That's fair. You know what? That's fair. It feels like it's been a lot longer than that.
The week before that, Baylor.
God, the Big 12 is good this year. I keep forgetting to ignore your priors with Texas, Phillip. Stop. Just ignore your priors, okay? You got to remember, it's not the same Texas team. We're going to set Daniel. We're going to set Chris up here for an easy W. We just are. Man. Nah, forget it. Total 61. Give me the over. I want it. I want the over 61 because I do think Texas is going to put up a ton of points. I think Houston will score a little. We said this on Monday. Donovan Smith's been playing really, really well. I understand this Texas defense is different. Like, he's not going to look as good against Texas, Sam Houston and Texas Tech and Houston and West Virginia. But, like, I think they'll get some points. I can see this one going over in the fourth quarter with a Houston touchdown, and then Texas scores one more time just to push it all the way into the 70s. I'll take the over. Texas should win this by 24 points. They absolutely should. I can't do it. Chris.
Yeah. Last week I took Houston in, I don't know, it was just kind of a feeling. I felt like they were in a good spot in that game. And then they get a decent lead in the fourth quarter, look like they're going to cover the spread comfortably. And then West Virginia comes all the way back and takes the lead with a minute. And I text the two of you saying, I hate Dana Holgorsen so much. And then the Hail Mary, and I was like, never mind. But that doesn't really get Houston off the hook. They're just bad. And Texas, listen, 24 points, that's a ton of points. But it feels like Vegas is – they can't put a high enough point total on this game, right? Like, they can't – that feels like one that you should automatically take Texas to cover, because that 24, while it's a lot of points, it feels like, listen, we would do 30 if we could, but we can't. Like, Vegas just can't put the number on it that it should be. I think Texas wins this by 28 or something like that. So give me the Longhorns.
All right, Texas minus 23.5. Let's move on down. This should be an interesting game. This should be an interesting one. We've got Texas Tech on the road to face BYU in Provo at 6 o'clock at night. I wonder if that matters. At the moment, Texas Tech, a 3-point favorite. Those 3.5s look suspect. We're just going to call it 3. No, there's 3.5 if anybody cares. Total is at 51, pretty much across the board. Daniel, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Texas Tech's going to cover this game. Straight up. This BYU team is lost, and I mean, their fluke win against Cincinnati was a fluke. And then, I mean, last week, they just had nothing. But actually, this team has been so fluky. It's just they have overperformed, they've underperformed in the games they have won against Arkansas and Cincinnati. They should have lost both of those games. Couldn't hang against Kansas. Doors blown off them by TCU. I think this Texas Tech team is built in a way that is going to give BYU trouble. And what I mean by that is just not a lot of success on either side of the ball, like around the line of scrimmage. Texas Tech, I hate having to lay 3 on the road, but it's hard to see a path to success for BYU's offense. I know Texas Tech has not had the season they've wanted to, but just as far as the performance of the line of scrimmage, Texas Tech should control this game. -3.
-3. I feel like I'm the last holdout on, like, I still kind of believe in BYU. I get it, but I still have a little bit of faith. Throw in the fact that Baron Morton is a game time decision. He didn't play in the second half against Kansas State because he aggravated his right shoulder injury. He got that injury against West Virginia. I believe it's a sprained AC joint in his throwing shoulder. If he can't go, it's true freshman Jake Strong again. He came in and was 16 to 28, 173 yards and a touchdown against Kansas State, and threw 3 interceptions. Look, Texas Tech runs the ball really, really well. If Jake Strong is the guy this week, they are going to have a game plan that says that they're going to run the ball, because you're not going to put everything on the true freshman quarterback. And I know we're saying he is a game time decision. I'm having a hard time buying that Baron Morton's going to play. I don't believe he is going to play. I think they're going to go with the freshman, which means they're going to have to run the ball more. And if they run the ball more, they're going to face off against a defense in BYU that is ranked 33rd in EPA per rush. I'm going to do it. I don't care. I can get this at 3.5, I believe. I can. DraftKings has a 3.5. I'll take it. Give me a BYU plus 3.5. Texas Tech has been a favorite in 3 of their 4 losses this season. Something's just not right. And even if Barry Morton plays, his throwing shoulder's banged up. This Texas Tech offense, the quarterbacks are throwing a lot of picks. We could have a real fluky game. And as you noted, Daniel, like BYU's winning fluky games. I'm going to take BYU plus 3.5. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation isn't ideal for Texas Tech, but you got a week to prepare. What's the freshman's name? He'll know if he's going to play. He'll, you know, won't just be pulled in off the bench. They'll be able to get into the playbook a little bit more.
Jake Strong is the freshman.
Okay, Jake Strong. You know, they'll be able to, I don't know. They'll be able to, it'll be better managed. BYU just isn't good, and I need to accept that. I keep thinking that they're better than they are, and maybe it's the logo, maybe it's, you know, just what I think of them in general. I think they're a solid program, but they're just not good this season. And Texas Tech has been up and down, and I like Texas Tech to get the rebound here. I'm going to take the Red Raiders to cover.
Grayson?
Yeah, I mean, this is such an interesting game because Texas Tech really struggles with running quarterbacks. We've seen that multiple times this year, and Keaton Slovis is a statue, so not much to worry about there. Tech has struggled stopping the run. Well, BYU can't run the football, so that's kind of a wash there. So I think a lot what I'm looking at, you know, if Jake Strong plays, I'm very concerned because I don't think he's very good, at least not at this point in his career. Just having, you know, followed his recruitment, he was a late take by Texas Tech, wasn't even, you know, a top guy on their board when they took him. So I'm concerned there if Barron Morton doesn't play. But I trust Zach Kittley to have a game plan for Texas Tech that is suitable to take advantage of what I think is a very bad BYU defense, specifically BYU secondary. And because I don't think BYU is a good team, and because I think Zach Kittley is actually a pretty good offensive coordinator, I think that will be enough to get Texas Tech the win. So I'm going to take Tech minus 3.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. That's real sweet of you. All right. Our last Big 12 game on the slate.
Are you by yourself there?
I am by myself. Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's not good news for us.
Y'all are scholars and gentlemen. Let me just say that. Last one on the Big 12 docket for this weekend. Kansas State hosting TCU. This one in Manhattan, 6 p.m. kickoff. Kansas State currently a 6.5-point favorite. Total looks to be pretty much 59 across the board. I think I see a 60 at Circa. That's weird. We're going to update that. Let's just go with 59 until I hit refresh and say if we should do something different in case that's of anyone's interest. It's me. I'm first. Cool. Y'all, I'm just going to make my life easy here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I don't see any reason to. Kansas State by less than a touchdown. Done. Kansas State minus 6.5. Chris.
I pick the purple team. Yeah, this is tough.
By how many points?
Yeah. Well, I take purple heads up. I love that. Yikes. Man, I don't know. Why are you so confident in Kansas State?
TCU playing with backup quarterback. We're going to find out if TCU's backup quarterback is the correct choice for the second year in a row or if it's backup quarterback magic in a game where you slaughter the opponent and then come in the next weekend. It was just backup quarterback magic and it doesn't translate to 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. And this is tough. Because it just seems like either one of these teams could be that third team in the Big 12. I mean, there's an ocean between them and Texas and OU, but still, they could be the third team in the Big 12, yet they both play up and down. And I just, what are you going to get out of either team this week? I don't know. Efficiency likes Kansas State. It's at Kansas State, so I'll just ride with what I did earlier in the show, and I'll take the Wildcats to cover, and hopefully that half point helps.
Grayson.
Yeah, you know, guys, I feel pretty strongly about this at this point in the season. I think TCU is pretty fraudulent at this moment. I don't think they've played high level of competition this year. I mean, just looking at their schedule, BYU, Iowa State, West Virginia, SMU, Houston, like they really haven't played, in my opinion, these top upper echelon teams. And I think Kansas State's the best team they will have played all year long. Now they have to go on the road. They have Josh Hoover as their quarterback. Who's a young quarterback, unproven. What we saw against BYU, I think, had more to do with BYU's secondary being really, really bad than Josh Hoover being really, really good. And so for that reason, I think Kansas State's going to win this game. So I'm going to take them -6.5. I'm very curious how they, you know, handle Avery Johnson and Will Howard. But at the end of the day, I'm not too worried about it. They're going to be able to put on points. They're going to be able to create turnovers, especially at home, and they're going to get the job done. So K-State -6.5.
We have really teed this up for Daniel.
We have. Daniel?
Well, I can't take K-State now. And I wasn't going to. I was not going to. This is actually a game where I have real money down. I bet this earlier in the week. I bet the total at when it was sitting at 57. And obviously I've seen it's been bet up a little bit, which I will take. But I mean, a few reasons here. K-State defense, look, it's not very good if you have, I'm going to say, a competent offense or up. I mean, Missouri, UCF, Oklahoma State, all touching 30. The fact that Troy even got to 13 earlier in the year, I thought that was just maybe some early season fluke stuff against K-State. But, man, I mean, other than Texas Tech last week, K-State – defense has been underwhelming. The only place TCU is finding sort of barely any success is against those poorer defenses. I think we talked about it last week, even like defenses who can't really physical TCU up. TCU's able to hang around. I don't know if they're going to win or even cover in this game. I made K-State closer out to like -8. So, you know, maybe I'll have some money on K-State by kickoff, but this total is too low. K-State's going to be able to score. Yeah, TCU is going to end up being in the, you know, high 20s, low 30s situation, and K-State's going to be right there with them. I think K-State will be in the 30s, and you're going to see this number definitely go over the 57, I bet. And I think I probably still even care up to 61. So at 60, if there's a 59.5, I'd love to take that. But this is an over game.
All I see are 59s. That's the lowest I can get you.
Oh, that's great. I'll take that.
So it's all yours. All right. Do not forget about Prize Picks. Look, I don't have a Big 12 play. There's not one currently available. Sitting here at 9:07 p.m. on Wednesday night. They'll be available by the time we get to Friday and definitely by Saturday. So download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12. Get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is a fun and legal way to play player props across the country. It's daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, any sport, including college football. Bet the over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. That includes passing yards, rushing yards, passing touchdowns, interceptions, a whole lot of stuff just for college football. That doesn't include NFL, NBA, WNBA, MLB, so on and so forth. It is safe. It is fun. It's got free withdrawal, so no waiting around to collect your winnings. So go download the Prize Picks app. Use that promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12. 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That means if you put in 5, they'll give you 5. If you put in 100, they'll give you 100 to play with. That's a lot of fun. It's an easy way to play. You still got plenty of time this season. Put a little in, get a little extra, have a little fun. All right, we wrap this show up the same way every week. We use our non-Big 12 pick. You may pick over, under, or against the spread on any non-Big 12 game of your choosing. Just start calling it the wild card. This is the wild card pick. That's much more appropriate. Let's see. Chris, you get to go first, sir. What would you like?
You know, I there's a lot of markers I look for in this game when we're able to kind of branch out and go anywhere we look, anywhere we want. And I was looking at the UAB-Memphis game, and I think, you know, UAB could cover this, could hold Memphis within that 6.5. I don't like the half point. But I've not had a lot of success with that this season for whatever reason. I mean, last week, all the markers were there. We thought that was a landslide pick, and they didn't even win the game. So I'm just going to go with a game, kind of a gut feeling game, and – Oregon bouncing back at home against Washington State. They could name their score. It just feels like that. I'm going to say Oregon to cover the 20 at under or whatever it's at right now. What is it at?
Yeah, I got you. 20 looks like the one.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, at under three scores there, I'm going to go with Oregon.
Grayson?
Yeah, there's two that I've been looking at all week, but I think I just feel really strongly about this specific game. So I'm pretty sure Mississippi State is pretty terrible. I think that they're not a good football team really at all. And I look at Arkansas and I see a team that has played a lot of close games against really good teams. They're finally going back home. They're only a 6-point favorite in this game. And I think this is a game that they absolutely have to win. Arkansas has been really bad this year. They're 2-5. Their record's been terrible. They haven't really, you know, played great, but I think their schedule has just really snowballed on them. They had the unlucky game in my eyes against BYU as well. So I'm going to take Arkansas -6. I think they're just actually a pretty good team. And I think Mississippi State's a pretty bad team. So yeah, give me the Razorbacks -6.
Arkansas has not played a home football game since they played BYU all the way back on September 16th. It's been a full freaking month since Arkansas played a game at home in Fayetteville. Woo, they Wild. Need that. They need a bet. Daniel, you're up next, sir.
Some great games to bet this week. There's some great angles. There's one I love. This is a classic spot. It's so ugly. Oh, it's just the worst.
Oh, you're going to take it. I know you are.
No. I'm not. I already know your golden goose that you're going to run with. I'm going to leave that for you. I bet that right at the open. I mean, the whole world. Anyway, you know, that's your pick. I'll let you talk about it. Okay. Conference visitors off being shut out. That's it. That's the whole angle. I don't want to say I'm giving away an edge, but this angle is so ugly that people just stay away from it. People don't bet it. I will take it all day long. If you have a conference game and the previous game, the visitor was shut out, the very next week, if you bet that team, they're 77-52 against the spread, hitting at almost 60% since 2006. This year it's happened twice, and both times the team covered. So I've already got some real money down. We're going to come back to it. Charlotte lost last week to Navy 14-0. And now they're on the road as 7-point dogs at East Carolina. I love that we also got a low total. That thing's hanging around 40, 40 and a half. So it's like, I mean, look, obviously Charlotte is terrible, right? I mean, crap. They just got shut up by Navy. Navy plays with 9 guys on defense, like every single Saturday. They're terrible. But Charlotte +7. Love the angle. Conference visitors off being shut out. All day long. What are they? The Chanticleers? Did I say that right?
No.
I have no idea.
No, Coastal's the Chanticleers. What is Charlotte?
They're something stupid. Sorry, Charlotte. If there's any Charlotte fans. Oh, they're the 49ers.
Are they the 49ers? Yeah.
Now look, and I really don't get that. So someone from Charlotte has to explain that.
They took a cool logo and turned it into a C with a pickaxe in it that doesn't look. It's dumb. Modernization does not help everything. All right, Charlotte +7, and I can get you that +7. They've got that at DraftKings. All right, yes, thank you for saving that one for me. I had two that I actually looked at. I did look at Army to cover against LSU because LSU's defense is putrid and Army hangs onto the ball. And I don't understand how LSU is supposed to cover a 31-point spread against Army. But I'm going to do it. Since 2005, the under in Service Academy games is 43-9-1. Air Force and Navy play this week. It's 34.5. Give me the under. That's it. Just give me the under. By the way, there's a 34.5 for an Air Service Academy game. Did you know that's not the lowest under this week? That is not the lowest total in college football this week. Do you know who has a lower total than Navy Air Force?
I win Minnesota.
Yes, it is. It is 31.5, and you can get it at 31 if you want it.
That's sick. Awesome. Like if you think about that, it's like that game is, you know, I mean, 17-14 is essentially what they're telling you. And it's like that even kind of sounds impressive for like
there's,
you know,
no way that Iowa scores that. No, like that, even at 31, you're still like, I mean, give me the under. Give me the under in that game if you're going to take that total, because there's just no way. When you're getting unders lower than Service Academy matchups, something is broken in what you are doing. Like that is sicko of sicko college football. Y'all need Jesus if you're putting up totals like that. That's nasty. Grayson, appreciate you joining us this week. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Do me a favor, plug it all, bud. Where can everybody check out your work covered Baylor?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I'm on Sikkim365.com, so I cover Baylor. I'm a co-editor there, so I cover recruiting, football, basketball, all of it. I also help run our YouTube channel, Crystal Ball College Football, so I talk Big 12 football as well as my best bets for the week. So be sure to check that out as well. And then my Twitter is @GrayGrundhate for pretty much all Baylor stuff, but sometimes the occasional Big 12 things or just other news and notes, but mainly Baylor.
Grayson, appreciate you joining us this week. It's been a lot of fun. You can find Daniel on Twitter, X, whatever, @DannerB7. The Slack chat is still going strong. If you'd like to join and talk with a bunch of other pro pickers about night lines and so on and so forth. Chris is still not on Twitter. That's fine. We still love you. But if you are big into disc golf, don't say frisbee. They get all offended and bent over backwards about it.
No, it's a trademark. That's all. Frisbee. So, the term frisbee is trademark.
So it's kind of like saying Kleenex for all tissues.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, so this is what it is. But yeah, I'm in the disc golf world now. It's pretty fun, pretty exciting. I like it. And check out Scissortail Disc Golf for sure.
Do it, do it, do it. We, of course, can be found on Twitter @1012Network, TEN12, the word network. Same thing on Blue Sky, 1012Pod on Instagram and Threads, 1012Podcast on YouTube. Sorry, y'all, did not do a special team show this week. I'm trying to figure out how to make the playback, the video playback, work better and not be so choppy. So while I figure that out, we'll take a little bit of a hiatus. But if you are listening to this on YouTube, do us a favor, like this video, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel. We would really appreciate it. We will be back on Monday to recap the weekend it was, and look ahead to the weekend that will be. We'll talk to you all then. Have a great weekend.
Podcast Network.